Jaya Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakurika Jaya
Ramsevaho Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sidwaita Gadadha Srivasati Gaur Bhakta Vrindika Jaya Sri Sri Radhakrishna Gopagopata Sayam Kund Radhakunda Giri Govardhan Ki Jaya Vrindavanam Ki Jaya Maturam Ki Jaya Vrindam Ki Jaya Jagadada Sami Kajai Mudamai Kajai Shimadagalasi Devi Kajai Sandhveda Bhakta Vrindi Kajai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari. All glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories the assembled devotees, all glories to Shri Guru and Gauranga Srila Prabhupada Kijai Gaur Premananda Hari Hari. So, Om Maganat Timidandasya Gadanjana Shilakya Chakshurun Meditam Yena Tasmai Shigurave Namaha. So, this afternoon we're going to speak about balancing material and spiritual life. So, you may think that I'm not an appropriate person to speak about that. But let me tell you about my life so I can get some sympathy first before the class begins. In addition to reading Prabhupada's books, studying, presenting things, preaching Krishna consciousness, there's a whole other aspect of my life. No, I don't work at Best Buy. That's not the point. But there's a whole other aspect of my life that I'm on the GBC Governing Body Commission, which we have to manage many, many temples internationally around the world. Today, for about 2 hours, we had this fantastic, enlivening, ecstatic, jumping with ecstasy fundraising meeting, which put me to sleep, about fundraising for the new temple here. So there's many management responsibilities. I would say that perhaps 6 to 8 hours a day I'm also engaged in, I wouldn't say material things, but we're going to describe what material means when we go through this slideshow, but things related to Krishna that are not directly dancing in front of the deities and ecstatic things that we normally think are ecstatic. So we all have these different things. However, it should be clearly understood that we all have material necessities too. Now, one may think that they can live like the six Goswamis of Vrindavan or the spiritualists who we see in, let's say, like the Nagababas. Does anyone here want to live like Nagababas?
No.
No. There's no lady Nagababas, don't worry. But, without a care in the world. So we may think that we can live like that. We may think that we can live just eating one pat of butter every 3 or 4 days. Or absorbing our energy from the sun. Or we can become a breatharian. You know what a breatharian is? Someone who doesn't have to eat. They can just breathe in the prana. So, practically speaking, we're not on that level. So the great Acharyas, specifically Bhaktivinoda Thakur, states in a book he wrote about 150 years ago called the Chaitanya Shikshamrita, he says we have material and spiritual necessities. Now, what are material necessities? There are things like air, light, friendship, food, shelter, right? So we have these needs. They're really our needs. And so the material needs have to be met as well as the spiritual needs. So we understand that. So why do the spiritual needs have to be met? Why not just meet the material needs? Well, the problem is that if we just meet the material needs, what will happen is we won't be happy. And we won't have a purpose in life. I was just studying a particular individual named Viktor Frankl, his books on purpose in life. He was talking about how in the concentration camps, the people who actually were happy, imagine being happy, and survived, were the people who actually had a purpose in life. Of course, he didn't know about Krishna consciousness, but the principle is to have a purpose in life. A higher principle, a higher purpose that won't be taken away from you. A lot of things will be taken away from you, like your health, eventually with time, and practically everything is going to be taken away from you. Ashes to ashes, dust to dust. I mean, that's what life is about. But the one thing that won't be taken away from you is Svalpamapyasya Dharmasya. Trayate Mahatavayat was Krishna consciousness. Any little advancement, you keep it with you from one life to another. And the perfection of Krishna consciousness means you become extremely happy 24 hours a day. And as much as you are Krishna conscious, that's as much happiness as you will experience, because that's your constitutional position. So spiritual life is very important, because ultimately we do leave this body, and we should find out and make some plans for the next life. Okay, so, but we should balance the two. So we're going to talk about balancing the two. Like, Prabhupada talks about two types of activities for those who are conditioned. Of course, most of you can't read it, it's too small print. Prabhupada says, as far as protecting the body or abiding by the rules of society and state, certainly there are different activities, even for the devotees, in connection with conditional life. And such activities are called conditioned. And besides these, the living entity who is fully conscious of his spiritual nature and is engaged in Krishna consciousness or the devotional service of the Lord has activities which are called transcendental. These activities are performed in his constitutional position, and they are technically called devotional service. Now, there's actually nine types of devotional service. It's called Navabhakti, beginning with hearing, chanting, and remembering, which are the three most important. There's others such as surrendering everything to the Lord, which is a little bit advanced for us today. And there's others such as offering prayers, which we can do. There's worshiping the deities, serving the lotus feet, serving the devotees. These are all the nine activities of devotional service. So sometimes we think these activities are opposed to our what we call normal life. And this is also Prabhupada's statement. In the conditioned state, sometimes devotional service and conditional service in relation to the body will parallel one another. But then again, sometimes these activities become opposed to one another. Anybody have an idea how they might be opposed to one another? Any ideas here? This is Prabhupada's words. How might they be opposed to each other? I know I can tell you, but let's say if your job is working in a slaughterhouse, or something sinful like that, or you're opening up a liquor store. So that's opposed to the process of devotional service, because the process of devotional service involves following certain simple rules and regulations, like no meat, fish, or eggs, no intoxication, no gambling, no illicit sex, and of course not having anything to do with meat either, and not having anything to do with liquor and other things like that, or propagating and promoting illicit sex or any of these things, or gambling. I mean, obviously, if you're running a gambling casino in Las Vegas, it's probably opposed to your devotional service. So sometimes they're opposed. So the problem is that it seems so hard to be absorbed in spirituality, because we see, we're not talking about opposed activities now, but we even see the work we do during the day. Let's say we have some devotees here who are psychiatrists. They shrink brains. We're not talking about voodoo, you know. Just, that's what psychiatrists are called, a shrink. So they may think, oh, this is opposed to devotional. So it's actually not. So we see them as separate. And then also another thing that occurs, we may become so involved in those things that we neglect our spiritual life. So there's a real problem with scheduling, timing, regulation. So it's very important, because these same activities that are not really opposed can actually supplement our spiritual life or help us meet our needs so we can perform spiritual life. Sometimes they take us over. We become absorbed 24 hours a day in our work, right? Especially those of you who are computer programmers. Anyone a computer programmer here? You know what the computer does to you sometimes? You just like get into something, and then you look at the clock and it's 3 o'clock in the morning. The
has ever happened to you like that?
No.
I mean, anybody who's worked with computers knows what I'm talking about. I mean, I do too, so I have to just pull myself away. Because even while I'm working with computers, I'm supposed to do exercises too, because, you know, basically working with computers too much, I've got a computer neck. And I'm always looking at a computer. So I have to remember to do exercise, which is hard because you get absorbed in things and you forget even about your own health, what to speak of spiritual life. You know, Mangalarti? Well, tomorrow. In the future, I will do it. Yes. But we have so many things to do right now. And you can get completely absorbed, like you see this guy on the computer down there. So there's a problem. Work, family, not only computers. Yeah, I don't want to find fault with computers, because I love them. Work, family, school, finances. And it's hard to remember Krishna while we're doing these things, isn't it? It's really hard. You know, how do you connect all these things with Krishna? Because the problem is, if you leave your body and you're thinking of IBM or wherever you're working, I don't know where you'll take birth in the next life. But I probably talked about one gentleman who was very attached to the stock market. So in his next life, he didn't take birth as a stockbroker. He took birth as a rat in the Calcutta Stock Exchange. You know, in America, you don't have rats running around in the stock exchange. But in Calcutta, you certainly have them. So he was so attached. Or I remember I was visiting one farm community, and there was a dog there who would regularly go around every day investigating every aspect of the property. And I understood he was the owner in his previous life. Because he was checking the fences. You know, imagine a dog checking the fences. So that was obvious that he was thinking of his work. So what do we do? You know, how can we actually be Krishna conscious 24 hours a day? Because Krishna says in the Gita, in the 8th chapter, yam yam vapi smaran bhavam yajate yanti glavam. Whatever you're thinking of at the time of death. That's what happens. And you know, heart attacks don't wait until you're in the temple. You know, your Yamaraj comes and says, "Yeah, wait, let me go to the temple. You know, it's a 2-hour drive. You know, I'll be there in a few minutes." So, not that it doesn't work like that, isn't it? Death doesn't wait for anybody. So we really have to fix our minds 24 hours a day. So that's what we're going to talk about. And so then the opposite side of the coin is that if we think that our material work is maya, then we become too much immersed in what we call renunciation and detachment. You know, you look at your wife and she says, "Can I have a new sari?" And you say, "That's maya." And she says, "Do I look pretty today?" And you say, "No, you're not that body." Don't try that at home. That's quite dangerous. Or the body is just bile, mucus, and air. What are you showing off your bile, mucus, and air for? So it's true. I mean, I've seen people do this. So there's a danger too much, you know, going too much to either side. You know, be an extremist in that regard. I mean, even people publish things on the internet about that. So we don't want to neglect family members' emotional needs. You know, sometimes we hear people say, "That's just your emotions. And actually, we do have emotional needs. You know, we need companionship, to be heard. You know, if no one pays attention to us, it's kind of disturbing. So not too much emotional needs. Should I tell about that cartoon? No, I won't do that. So eventually these needs assert themselves. In other words, they explode at a certain point. That's the problem. And then spiritual life goes down the tubes. In other words, we may say, "I just want to be very renounced, not going to eat everything, just going to eat raw food all the time. Not going to talk to my husband or wife, they're maya. I'm not going to go exercise for my body, it's maya. I don't need money, it's maya." Then afterwards, after a while, you know, you're repressing these things, and all of a sudden, boom, then you're in Maya. So it's actually quite dangerous to repress these things. So, go on. And then, and also, I mean, it's going to, from one side to the other. Also, we have pressures for different things that are not specifically, you know, the people who are surrounding us in the immediate family. We have co-workers who expect us to attend Christmas parties where everybody's getting drunk. Anyone's had that experience? I mean, it's very common. Or go to the restaurant with them, where, you know, go to McDonald's with them or something like that. People have that experience. I mean, if you work in the world, you know, people say, you know, what are you, weird? What's wrong with you? You don't want to be a rabbit. You know, rabbit just eating lettuce. So, and then you have family members who don't appreciate it. I mean, even my mother, after all these years, she still wants me to be a doctor. She says, you know, I'll pay for your medical school, so maybe I should go to Duke. I can get in. I have a good, great point average. And yet, or if you go to school, students, and then you have these other things like these past habits. You know, that if you're exposed to anything, like if you're walking by where someone is, let's say if you're a hippie smoking marijuana, you just want to take it, or... I mean, Prabhupada was... It's an interesting thing. Prabhupada was very cautious about people getting into their previous habits. Even in the 1960s, this is just for the 1960s. In the 1960s, it was very common for men to have very long hair. Shoulder-length hair, longer than you ladies. And Prabhupada considered when someone had even 2 weeks of growth of hair on their head, he said, hippie seeds are growing. Nowadays we don't do it because, you know, obviously, you know, people, he's not going to become a hippie. I'm not worried about him. Your shoulder-length hair, peace, love, Gurudev. You know, it's like... It's not going to happen. Yeah, I'm not worried about, you know, Hrishikesh becoming a hippie, so he can have a little longer hair. But Prabhupada was very, very concerned about previous, isn't it? Previous, like, habits coming back. And because, anyway, this deviates one from Krishna consciousness. So we got all these pressures coming at us from different sides. And then we also have, which I mentioned before, lack of time because we're not into scheduling and prioritizing things. Prioritizing things means what's more important, what's less important. We never think about that. It's just like worth the moment right now. You know, late nights, you've got to work early. There's all sorts of demands of the home. There's time spent with materialistic entertainment. If we go on the internet and we can surf for hours and hours and hours looking at different videos. And we have little time for the concentrated japa that's required. Japa means the personal chanting of the holy names, which is actually extremely important. Or worship, kirtana. Even I know people who chant their japa watching Bollywood movies. You know, there's one girl I know. That's how she chanted her japa every day. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, like that. Or doing other things, or driving a car. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. And then they get one of these clickers in New Zealand. They call it a sheep counter. Anyone's been in New Zealand? And they click, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. And they're chanting while I'm giving class. Anyone doing that right now? I see that all the time. Sometimes I'm giving class and you're like, so it's not really attentive. So we're not managing our time properly. That's really the problem. So we're all these different directions. Good luck. You know, good luck in your spiritual life, good luck in your material life, and we're lost to both worlds. That's really the point. We don't have good material life, we don't have good spiritual life. So what are we going to do about it? So here's some solutions. Use your mobile phone. Oh, that is his mobile phone is playing. Good. And one solution comes from the Bhagavad Gita, which is really interesting. This is a very famous verse, which the Brahma Kumaris always chant. Brahmarpana Brahmaha Veya Brahmagno Brahmana Hutam Brahmatena Gantavya Brahmakana Samadhyam. What this basically means, and I'll give a rough translation without reading the translation there, is that if one does things, even with things that would be considered material, but if you do them with the purpose of offering the results to Krishna, and you're absorbed in those things, then those things are Brahma karma. Now the karma means, in that sense, activities. So there are activities for spiritual life. And if you're absorbed while you're doing it, then that is Krishna consciousness, if the results are going to Krishna. I'll give you a practical example. One time, there was a devotee, this happens to me all the time, a devotee is driving me in their car, and they're chanting japa with one hand, and using their mobile phone with the other hand. So I don't have them. I'm steering with their knees. So I said, put your japa bead down. I said, how am I going to remember Krishna? Concentrate on the driving. You can do that when I'm not in the car. But your driving is devotional service. So meditate, concentrate, because you're doing it for Krishna. In other words, if you have that consciousness that you're doing it for Krishna, and also you're giving the results to Krishna, I mean, it's not that you... Some people have this misunderstanding of karma yoga. They think that whatever you do, if you think you're doing it for Krishna, you are doing it for Krishna. That's a misconception. Well, I'm going into the movies to see Dudley Do-Right, the Canadian Mounties or something. Well, I don't know. I don't remember the movie. I know any movies from nowadays. But, and I'm doing it for Krishna. I mean, you can try to justify anything. I gave the example the other day that I wanted to go hang gliding. And I was thinking, how can I justify it that I'm doing it for Krishna? Then I thought, well, I'll have a little banner when I go hang gliding. And your banner will say, Hare Krishna, chant Hare Krishna. I said, you know, I can justify it. But that's a real stretch of the imagination, which we really don't want to engage in. So I didn't do it. Because I was afraid if I got hurt, how would I explain it to my disciples? So this is basically the same thing. We're not going to read that. So Prabhupada said, this is Prabhupada's words from the Gita purport, 12th chapter, text 2. A pure devotee is constantly engaged. Sometimes he chants, sometimes he hears or reads books about Krishna, or sometimes he cooks prasadam or goes to the marketplace to purchase something for Krishna, or sometimes he washes the temple or the dishes. We need that done today after the feast. Whatever he does not let a single moment pass without devoting his activities to Krishna. Such action is in full samadhi. So in other words, you're absorbed in it, that's samadhi, like the yogi's samadhi. That's practical. It's called karma yoga. And so here you see some of the activities that people may engage in the temples. They may engage in chanting, cooking, driving a car, or sweeping the floor. And Prabhupada even said that a man working in a factory, if he's doing it for Krishna, giving the result to Krishna, and he's associating with his consciousness of doing it for Krishna, then he's acting transcendentally. Prabhupada actually said he's as good as a sannyasi. That's interesting, isn't it? Because everybody has a certain psycho-physical nature. And there's this thing called varnashram. Varnashram means that you have psycho-physical nature, that means you like to talk, like me. So, or you like to teach, you like to study, that's Brahman, or you like to manage. You know, when you get into strategic planning and PowerPoints, you get extremely ecstatic, your hairs on your body stand on end, and tears come from your eyes. Whereas those who are Brahmins, they just go, oh my God, what is it over? So, and then, or you may like to make money, Vaishya, you go to the bank, count your money. I was just told, talking to a devotee last night, he said he had a family member who used to count his money on the kitchen table every night. It was just like the most ecstatic thing he did. He forgot about eating. So that's a Vaishya or cow protection. And then finally, there's Shudra. You enjoy serving others, which is nice. They're all nice. So everyone has those four different propensities. In addition, we have different, let's say, social order of life we'd like to be in. That means a student or a married person or a retired person playing golf. No, sorry. A retired person visiting the holy places and doing service for the mission, or a sannyasi. So we fit in somewhere. There's something for everybody. You fit in. I mean, everybody either likes to make money, likes to speak, likes to control others. Anybody here like to control it? You want a minute. Or they like to serve. And so that person who's engaged is as good as a sannyasi. That's what Prabhupada said. So these are the different activities. Here, you see a nice yogi up there, people doing different things. And of course, everybody is meant to have what? Sadhana. Whatever you're doing during the day, during your working life, you're meant to have sadhana. Just like I have all these responsibilities in Krishna consciousness, like having a job or like having two jobs. I mean, I have to answer like 50 to 100 emails a day. And you got all the, you worry you have two or three children. I have like 850 children. Disciples. That's initiated disciples. What to speak of those who, you know, aren't initiated that I have to answer to. And they're calling me on the phone. I have to talk to you. It's a problem. The world's coming to an end. It happens like that. Or you get these emails, you know, I hate to tell you, Gurudev, you know, I've been deviating from the Krishna conscious principles, you know, please bless me. And every day I get at least three or four pictures of people who just had a baby. Please name my baby. So my inbox is filled with baby pictures. So in spite of all those things, it's true. I mean, you just have to name one or two or three children. You know. In spite of these things, I have to chant too. I have to chant with attention. And so that requires like doing it at a certain time of the day. Like I have a certain time of day. That's called the morning program. You know, actually Prabhupada, our spiritual master, stressed rising early. I know nowadays that's politically incorrect. Fun begins at 10 o'clock at night. I've been to some programs, you know, where everybody starts going at Krishna conscious programs, of course, at 10 or 11 o'clock at night, and the children are running around like wild things at 12. And then everybody eats prasadam at 2 in the morning. Isn't it? We have some programs like that. I try to avoid those programs. People wonder, why don't I do too many evening programs? So I like to rise early. That keeps me sane. Because in spite of all my other service, if I didn't get up early and chant, I'd just be thinking of, you know, my computer, I throw it in the garbage. I take my iPhone or whatever phone I'm using, you know, one phone for each hand, iPhone for one hand, Google phone for the other hand. And I'd get rid of it. So it keeps me sane and focus. It keeps you focused on why you're doing what you're doing. And what we're doing is worshiping Krishna, trying to become Krishna's devotee. Because Krishna's the most attractive. If you worship him, you become happy. He's so wonderful. I mean, childhood pastimes, saving Draupadi there, right? I mean, these are so wonderful pastimes. We should be absorbed in these pastimes. One trick I have for being absorbed in these pastimes is I listen to like MP3 readings of books and classes whenever I have a spare moment. When I'm taking care of my deities, when I'm driving my car, even when I take a bike and I ride that for exercise, because you need some exercise. And I put on Prabhupada chanting. You can hear Prabhupada chanting, so I'm listening to transcendental sound. So the real point is to utilize, you can even utilize modern technology to help you be Krishna conscious 24 hours a day. You're driving to work. All right, put on some nice Krishna conscious sound vibration.
don't just sit and listen to Rush Limbaugh. Does everybody know who he is? I mean, maybe humorous, but it's not really going to help you in your Krishna consciousness. And see your life as service. So, as long as we're not completely purified, where we're absorbed in Krishna internally, one has to act. But this is Prabhupada's purport to the Gita. But action in Krishna consciousness automatically helps one escape the result of fruitive action. In other words, it has no reaction to it, no karmic reaction. So that one need not descend to the material platform. Therefore, action in Krishna consciousness is always superior to renunciation, which always entails a risk of falling. One example of that is the part of Bhagavatam we're reading nowadays is about Bhart Maharaj. Bhart Maharaj was a king, and he gave up everything in a spirit of renunciation. He gave up his kingdom, beautiful wife, and everything. However, what happened is he made a mistake that he started to meditate in his sannyas behavior on a deer, a little baby deer, for a variety of reasons, and he became a deer in his next life. And that's a fall down. So we have to understand our platform of devotional service. Don't act like a renunciate if you're not a renunciate, like a pseudo-renunciate. Because ultimately, as we said, those needs will pop out, and then you'll be in trouble. And to remember always, when you're working in this world, that, O Lord, nothing further... This is from Bhaktivinoda Thakur. O Lord, nothing further remains that may be called mine, declaring that my wealth, family members, home, and wife are truly yours. I continue as a mere servant to dutifully protect them. For the purpose of your service, I will earn money and bear the expense of maintaining your household. So you take your family members as servants of Krishna. They're all parts and parcels of Krishna. And you love them as parts and parcels of Krishna. It's not that you should have some negative attitude towards them. Oh, I just want to sit down and chant, and you're just asking for money from me all the time. Or you may pull some quotes out of the Shastra saying, oh, you're just legal thieves. But you should see them, they're Krishna's devotees. And if you serve them in that mood, they will be Krishna's devotees. There's this interesting story of this person who Lord Chaitanya was preaching. One of the is Ramananda Roy's brother, and I think it was Bhavananda Roy. Yeah, Bhavananda Roy, the father of Ramananda Roy, and he wanted to renounce everything, and. Actually, Gopinath Patanayaka, I'm sorry, the brother of Ramananda Roy. And Lord Chaitanya said, if you would all adopt the renounce order and lose interest in dealing with pounds, shilling, and pence, who will take charge of maintaining your large family? Whether you're involved in material activities or become completely renounced, you five brothers are all my eternal servants, birth after birth. So we're a cooperative society. You know, we need sannyasis, we need people who are grihasthas, making money, the stomach of society, not simply eating for society, but providing for the rest of society, and we work together cooperatively. And we're all Lord Chaitanya's servants. And here's a quote by Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, and it's nice, I'll read the whole thing. Who said, that's Prabhupada's spiritual master, said, the one should always remember that he's eternally a servant of Krishna. Whether one is engaged in material activity involving pounds, shilling, and pence, or is in the renounced order, he should always think that he is an eternal servant of God. For that is the real position of the living being. Both taking sannyas and dealing in pounds, shilling, and pence are external affairs. In any condition, one should always consider how to please and satisfy Krishna. Thus, even if one is involved in great material affairs, he will not become attached. As soon as one forgets that he is an eternal servant of Krishna, he becomes involved in material attachments. However, if one is always conscious that Krishna is the Supreme Master and that he is an eternal servant of Krishna, he is a liberated person. So even if you're working for IBM, you can be a liberated person. In any condition, entangling material activities will not affect him. And skip this one. So the idea is to live a pure life, and we get a real taste for the real world, which is the spiritual world, where we have loving relationships that you see here,
five different types. One can passively adore Krishna. One can be Krishna's active servant. One can be Krishna's friend. One can be Krishna's parent. Or one can be Krishna's lover. And this is the real life in the spiritual world, of which this material world is a reflection. And as far as the regular work we do, prescribed work, prescribed duties, Prabhupada said they're divided into three different categories. Routine work, which means work according to our nature. Emergency work, that means when something comes up, let's say if there was a fire in the building, I'm not a fireman, but I would help put it out. That's an emergency work. And desired activities, and that's Krishna consciousness. So we should do what we like to do for Krishna and be regulated, as the Gita tells us, in our habits of eating, sleeping, recreation, and work. And this way we can mitigate all the material pains. That's yoga. What does regulation mean? That you sleep a certain amount, try to go to sleep the same time every night. Very important. Wake up the same time. Eat at regular times. Don't be noshing all day long. Everyone knows what noshing is. Grazing. That's it. That's English for noshing. Just eat at regular times. Eat a regulated amount. Don't eat too much. Don't eat too little. Don't sleep too much. Don't sleep too little. Have regular recreation. Exercise. Get some sunshine. It's important. Vitamin D. We just gave a health seminar in Europe about this. If you don't get exercise and don't get vitamin D, you're going to be sick. So these, like Prabhupada did his exercise every day, the walk, which was an aerobic walk, because a Jewish doctor in New York told him to do it. So it's not that Prabhupada didn't follow doctor's advice. When Dr. Prabhupada came to America, he originally wasn't going on his morning walk. Then he had a heart attack. And it was Sunday, and they looked for a doctor, and all they found was this old Jewish doctor. And he came in, and he said, see if I can imitate his voice. Swamiji, you had a heart attack. And so, that's the accent. And then he said, do you exercise? And Prabhupada said, no. He said, you should exercise every day. And then Prabhupada dovetailed his exercise, because while he was taking his morning walk, he was either chanting or preaching to the devotees. You'll hear so many nice conversations that Prabhupada had during his morning walks. So we should be regulated like that and associate with devotees, our intimate associations. And if someone asks us to do something sinful, like, I mean, for example, I have one disciple who's in a Muslim country, and he has to chant his japa on Muslim bees. And so he's a assistant dean of a major university. Pretty heavy position. So it's like Bibhishan. You know what they said about Bibhishan? He's like the tongue living between the two teeth. You know the tongue between the two teeth? So, because if anything happens, he could lose his family, be put in jail, killed. You know, anything could happen if anyone finds out. So basically, when he has to sit in some program where they're eating meat, which happens sometimes, he just says, oh, I have celiac disease, or this disease, or that disease. And everyone respects. And even his wife doesn't know he's a devotee. But that's not a problem, because the women there in that country are very submissive. Not like other places. So, and then, sorry about that, ladies. So the wife just has to say, yes, yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. So, and then choose an occupation where you're not engaged in simple activities. And have priority management, you know, time management. One must find time, as Prabhupada said, for hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. This is the Vedic culture. Originally in the villages in India, every night they would hear Krishna Katha when they stopped work. And you know, working too many hours a day is not good for you. I mean, sometimes emergency may be there. But on a regular basis, you know, 8 hours is pretty good, isn't it?
And you know, we have 24 hours a day, so you take 8 hours for work, and if you have to sleep another 8 hours, then you get 2 hours for eating, and you still got 6 hours left over to do some Krishna conscious activities, or at least talk to your wife. So either, Prabhupada said, either in the afternoon or the evening, a householder should associate with devotees to hear about incarnations of Krishna and his activities, and thus be gradually liberated from the clutches of Maya. That's for Prabhupada's purport in the Srimad Bhagavatam. And here Prabhupada gave a hint how you can chant 16 rounds, because many people say, 16 rounds, how can I do it? Prabhupada said, when I was a householder, I would chant 4 rounds before each meal. You know you're going to chant your rounds if you take a vow not to eat. Isn't it? You say, I'm not going to eat until I chant 4 rounds. Then you say, Hare Krishna, Hare. You chant very fast, attentive rounds. 4 rounds before each meal, 4 rounds before retiring in the evening. In this way, 16 rounds could be chanted without difficulty. He laughed and said, if you don't take prasadam before chanting your 4 rounds, then you will be sure to get them chanted. In other words, like I said, if you just say, I'm not going to eat until I chant 4 rounds, you will surely chant 4 rounds. In New Dwarka, Prabhupada said that if you get tired in the evening, you can walk and chant. So there's no hard and fast rules for chanting. You can walk. I mean, I know on Akadasi, I usually chant 64 rounds a day, and I'm more active by nature. So I have the devotees sometimes drop me off like 12 to 15 miles away from the temple, and I make me walk back. And I chant my way back, and I get 64 rounds done. And be creative and flexible. Use different solutions, like I was talking about the MP3 players. And do the activities that are most spiritually enlivening for you. If you like kirtan, if you like class, whatever you like, or Krishna's pastimes, you know, don't feel yourself forced to do one particular type of spiritual activity other than chanting and hearing. We're interested in different aspects. But put Krishna first. And just to recap, dedicate everything to Krishna, see Krishna in the material energy as he describes in the Gita, and remember, using whatever time we have, Krishna's name, quality, forms, and pastimes, understand that everything in your workplace belongs to Krishna. Krishna is in every atom. He's even in the microprocessor for the computer. He's in your heart. He's in everybody's heart. And when you talk to people, you should remember that. You're actually talking to Krishna. Krishna's in your heart. Take care of your body, family, and everything that you have, because manasa deha geha yokishumor arpilam to your body, Nanda Kishore. All belongs to Nanda Kishore. And do everything with great attention. This way you'll have a higher taste, you'll associate with devotees, you'll enjoy life. And moderate in your recreation, avoiding sinful things by making health excuses. I'm a vegetarian because the doctor told me to do it. You know, you can't use always the religious excuse at work, right? It's against my religion. You can't say that many times. And have an occupation that doesn't involve sins. Work 8 hours at most. Prioritize your day. In other words, make a list. Say what's more important to you, what's less important, what's less, and do the more important things first. Be very creative, and your life will change as you get older. This is part of life. And here we see Bhaktivedanta Thakur and Srila Prabhupada, who taught us how to live practically in this material world and be Krishna conscious, and at the end of this life, go back to home, back to Godhead. Okay? So any questions or comments about any of the points I made? Yes, Mr. Gopal. Because we get diverted by a number of things. Well, like by the computer is a big diversion nowadays. Or the mobile phone is another diversion nowadays. Or there's a number of things that can divert us, things we think we have to do. I mean, there are things we have to do for those 8 hours. I mean, we have to talk to our family. You can't just get home and every time. Of course, that's not your problem. You know, we're attracted to different things in this world. You know, so we should talk to our family, our wife and children, how'd you do at school? It's not that we just say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, don't bother me. Get out of the way, you know, you little so-and-so. No, you got to do some other things. Like, you know, there's normal social dealings that are necessary for conditioned souls. We have to do those things. I don't know, it's up to you. But at least we can take an hour or two for chanting and hearing a day. That's my point. All I'm asking is just 2 hours out of 24. And that way you'll be able to remember why you're doing, what you're doing, who you're doing it for. At the other part of the day. I know, because I have a strong morning program, I'm up every morning, I try to get up by 2:30 or 3. And, you know, my morning program's over at, it's not actually over at 7:30 because I do my deity worship at that time. So it's over by about 8:30 in the morning. But I know the rest of the day I'm remembering why I'm doing what I'm doing. And even if things go wrong, which usually happens, you know, things do go wrong. You know, people get angry at me for no reason whatsoever. But, yeah. Anyway. But, so people may get angry with me or anything. Or a bill may come in the mail or someone may call and say, my house needs a pressure washing or something like that. And you have to pay for it. Because we have so many houses here that belong to the temple. And or you call, Gopal calls me and says, we need dehumidifiers. So even if that happens, you know, immediately, of course, I feel closing to my throat and other bodily symptoms. But then, obviously. And then after some time, you just pull and say, yeah, I'm doing it for Krishna. And if things get really tough, I'll take an extra little japa walk. You know, just to cool down. But this way it centers me throughout the whole day. Because as I said at the beginning of this whole talk, I'm probably doing as many things like that would be considered material as those of you who have jobs. I mean, I'd like to renounce them all, put on a gumcha, go to Radhakund and just be a Babaji, but Prabhupada doesn't want that. I'd be very happy doing that. You know, just Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And someone comes, there's a problem, we need money. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna! I was with one of Prabhupada's godbrothers, his name was Krishnadas Babaji. And anytime anyone would go to him with a problem, has anyone met Krishnadas Babaji here? He would, well, what did he do?
Smile and say, Hare Krishna.
He'd say, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. And of course you felt real good and didn't solve the problem. But so, as much as we'd like to do that, we have service for Prabhupada. So, we also have to chant Hare Krishna. So having a good sadhana, you know, Vaidhi Bhakti sadhana, helps us keep that consciousness throughout the day. Remember, we're doing it for Prabhupada, not for ourselves. And so, therefore, that's why I highly recommend having a time, what do they call QT, quality time with Krishna every day. Right? I mean, just like if you're talking to let's say a husband or wife and you're trying to do something else at the same time, it just aggravates them, right? I remember when I first joined the Hare Krishna movement, I'd speak to my mother and I wanted to chant my rounds at the same time. And she said, look at me! Stop chanting! And of course, I just thought she was Maya Devi, so I didn't do it. I said, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. You know, it's fanatic. So it aggravated my mother. Or sometimes I'm talking to someone on the phone and I'm multitasking by typing on the computer at the same time and the person gets aggravated because they can hear a pause. You know, a 10-minute pause between they say something and my response. So we do that with Krishna, that's offensive chanting, isn't it? So when we're with Krishna, chanting his names, it should be concentrated chanting. Tivrena bhakti yogena yajeta purusham puram. Then the rest of the day goes very nicely. And the problems, you see them in the right perspective. There will be problems. I'm not saying you chant and then you'll have plenty of money. I'm not like some of these Christian preachers who say, you know, go to the Lord and you'll have plenty of money. I was even reading one thing on the internet to see how I waste my time. That if you read the Bible, you'll learn how to invest in the stock market and make millions of dollars. So when I read that, I was thinking, maybe I should get my copy of the Bible and start reading it. So, to build a new temple. So, I'm not saying that they won't be those problems, but you'll see them in the right perspective. You know, people will get sick, people will die, but you'll see them in the correct perspective. Like Prabhupada gave the example, when you go up in the airplane, everything on the ground becomes small. So your consciousness will be elevated. Is that all right? Okay, I think, yes. A ditch in the Rhine.
So, Maharaj, like, even if we have, like, rent for a million and have that particular time for me, still, like, the thought of the previous day or the thought of what we have to do the same day, that still bothers. So, it could be a practice if we just exclusively keep that time.
Yeah, it takes practice. Still, yes, while we're chanting our japa in the morning, the things will come into the mind. And it takes practice, just concentrate in the holy hands. One thing I suggest is having some sankalpa or purpose for chanting. Something that really connects, something you're praying, let's say you're praying for. I mean, I find my best chanting is when I'm praying for someone. Praying for someone's welfare. Whether it's, you know, a disciple or a friend or a relative or something, like praying for them. Because there's in my position, there's at least someone or several people to pray for every day. You know, people are dying, people are getting sick, and I'm finding out about this every day. So I find it's very powerful to pray for someone else. And then if so if you're having trouble concentrating, you can do that. You can just pray for someone, or pray for Krishna, pure devotion, whatever resonates with you particularly. But it's, you know, it's natural that these other thoughts will come in your mind, especially if there's some anxiety due to something happening in your life. You know, either financial, legal, or other anxiety. Another thing I find is that if you're finding that, then sometimes it's good to take a walk while you're chanting. And also I find that when you're chanting, if you're chanting in a place where you do your work, normally your mind will be diverted. I mean, if I try to chant in my office space, then I'm going to look at everything that's there on the desk and my mind will be diverted. So it's good to have a special deity room in your house. You know, one room where it's just for Krishna. One space or one spot is just for Krishna. And that helps a lot. So these are different hints I can give. Yes? Yeah.
How do you avoid justifying and engage more in self-deprecation?
Well, you think you're keeping the body and soul together for serving Krishna. I mean, obviously, if you were playing 8 hours of rugby a day, I don't think you're doing that, then that is more than necessary to keep the body and soul together. But I remember when we were opening the temple in Fiji, every day I took all the devotees in the afternoon and we played volleyball together. And that helped develop team spirit. I mean, there were a lot of things that were helpful because we all started to work together very nicely. It's a team building thing. Another time I took a group of devotees on white water rafting. And I trained the captain of the white water rafting boat. He was a professional. That when he wanted us to row on the right side, he would say Nitai. And when he wanted us to row on the left side, Goranga. So the whole trip, he was going, Nitai, 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 Goranga, Goranga, Goranga. And after that, he came to the Sunday feast and became a devotee. So, you know, you can, there's certain things you can dovetail. You know, even in the GBC, we do team building exercises. They're nice. I mean, sometimes they involve Krishna's pastimes, or sometimes they involve something physical. But these things can be dovetailed in Krishna's service. We don't want to be too fanatic, but if you do too much of it, then it becomes mundane. So moderate in your recreation is the key word. Moderate. Alright, I think we have to end now because it's time for prasadam, right? Okay, thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Gaur Premananda. Hari Hari Gaur.
Hare Krishna.